Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. Happy hump day. Especially a good morning to a P1er of 1620 The Zone, Asian Joe, who is in Omaha, Nebraska, the most diehard Georgetown basketball fan. I mean, from the days of David Wingett, Fred Brown, Patrick Ewing, Michael Graham.
That's old school. I love it.
Last night, if you are a fan of Georgetown, you can celebrate because for the first time, in 29 straight Big East games that they had suffered a loss, they won a Big East game last night against DePaul. Georgetown basketball. If I would have told a young Nick Hanley that Georgetown basketball in 2023 would snap a 29-game losing streak in Big East, you would tell me, you're crazy.
Yep.
You are absolutely crazy. But I hope Asian Joe has a good day because I was listening this morning to the play-by-play call. So, the voice of the Hoyas,
legend,
Rich Chivatkin, has been there. This is his 49th year.
Wow.
As the voice of Georgetown. So at the end of the game last night, and Jimmy, you'll have to find the clip, he said the word Hoyas over and over and over 23 times. I thought he would do it 29 times to celebrate as many games as Georgetown has lost. But, I mean, the last time they actually physically beat a Big East team was Creighton. Remember the when back then when you thought Patrick Ewing was taken off? They had that run that COVID year in New York City. And
the Big East tournament, yeah.
Yeah, they beat Creighton in the final, and they went to the NCAA tournament, and they got absolutely blasted by Colorado.
Yep.
But last night, they won a game. Now, not going to change anything. Patrick Ewing's going to be done there, but good for the players.
Yeah.
They won a game, and good for Asian Joe and everybody else out there that is still in Hoya.
I know Asian Joe, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Big big sneakerhead, too.
Yes. He's my favorite Asian guy named Joe.
You know, I saw DeMarinis tweet this out yesterday, too, after that.
That miracles can happen?
Well, that and the fact that you've got now DePaul is responsible for the streak being over for Georgetown and also the only loss in conference play for Xavier. How about that, Jekyll and Hyde act? But DePaul. Because DePaul is a team that a lot of people in Big East circles believe that when you get them on their best night, they're a handful. And they prove that against Xavier. But they are still DePaul. That's what we found out last night. They can still be very DePaulish.
How do you be DePaulish?
You just don't play very good basketball. How about that? Most nights. Most nights you don't play very good basketball. But sometimes, as we know in college basketball, and you know, we always try to bring it local too. Nebraska with the injury situation and what have you. Take it on Mighty Northwestern tonight. You always got that good one in you. Maybe a couple. And I don't know. I mean, did Nebraska already use that against Creighton or Iowa? And they're a little bit more healthy then. Obviously not now. But yeah, DePaul, that's how I would probably categorize DePaul. Mainly bad basketball, but like any other good college basketball team or any college basketball team, period, you always have a good one in you.
Just think if you know, like when I was a little kid, DePaul and Georgetown were really, really good. Like, DePaul used to be on WGN, and Joey Meyer and Ray Meyer were coaching, and DePaul was like a big deal. I mean, I remember watching games on television. They go to the Rosemont Horizon. I'm like, man, I'd like to go see DePaul play.
Rosemont, yes.
And then you fast forward about 30 years later, and DePaul and Georgetown are, but anything can happen in the Big East, and anything can happen in college basketball, as evidence again last night. But we do have basketball today. Red Nebraska and Blue Nebraska are back in action today. Nebraska is only, against Northwestern, a bubble team. Nebraska is only a 2.5-point underdog in this game.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting for old Fred's boys that are a little bit depleted. I was surprised by that. Yeah, 2.5 right now at FanDuel.
Because they believe Sam Hoiberg will get some action tonight?
Well, I think that's a... Well, let's see here. I think he only plays if the game is out of reach.
One way or the other, yeah.
Yeah, either for Nebraska is pulling off a what the heck, or it's, you know, Northwestern, which doesn't shoot the ball really well, but they play really good defense. I mean, Northwestern is in top 20 in KenPom in defense.
Yeah.
I think that could be a rock fight tonight, but only 2.5. Only 2.5. Now, that's at 6 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock tonight in this town, where a juiced-up crowd will engage in dollar beer night.
Yeah, buddy.
Are you serious? Dollar beer night?
You know what you're doing now tonight?
I might.
You're not making plans to go to dollar beer night?
Now, it only leads up to
I thought you're just pulling my leg again. I mean, we talked about eating raw potatoes.
You got to get there early because it only leads up to tip-off.
Fair.
But still, it's dollar beers.
It's a good deal.
You're saving yourself a solid $7, $8.
Yeah, you know what? I will say this about the chai. They don't skimp on the dollar beers. Sometimes you go to sporting events or you go to other things and they have like reduced alcohol prices. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the cups get really, really small.
Right.
Have you seen the Baxter cups? They're basically an enlarged Dixie cup for the dollar beers. It's like what you get those little sample wine tastings if you go around. Like, oh, here you go. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
But you go up to the concession stand window and you say, really? Yeah. That's going to suffice? Put some more out there.
Yeah, what's the uncle in Home Alone where he's having him top off the...
Uncle Frank?
Yeah, Uncle Frank. A little more. Thank you. Like, you have to have him top it off. CHI does it, the normal keg cup, which is good. Not a lot of people do that.
I don't know, Jimmy, they don't allow you to bring your own, so you cannot show up with like your own mug.
Fair.
It's not the mug club.
It's not an Oktoberfest.
It's not old Chicago.
Sorry,
buddy. Yeah.
You're like, all right, this is a world beer tour at the CHI.
Fill up my Yeti.
Dollar beer night tonight for Creighton and St. John's, and Creighton is a 9.5-point favorite in that game. Haven't played in over a week, but now they play St. John's, which on the theme. If you would have told me back in the day that St. John's, DePaul, and Georgetown would not be very good consistently, I would have called you crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the case. But Creighton is back on the floor tonight. Enjoy dollar beer night on an 8 o'clock start.
Yeah. Late night. Big East prime time. Roll it back out there for Creighton.
What if they would do a dollar beer for one of their afternoon games on a Saturday? I mean, I know the reasoning behind the dollar beer night is to attract new people.
Yeah.
You know, you got a slow night. You're thinking, you know what, 8 o'clock, you're playing St. John's.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on Wednesdays.
Well, and I like because they've been off for a while, too.
Yeah, so you got to remind people, hey, you know, you want to get butts in seats you know, encourage the students to make the trek over from campus. Yeah, this is an ideal spot on the calendar for dollar beer night. Now, Steve Lavin will not be in attendance because... I don't know where San Diego's playing. It'd be kind of awkward if Steve Lavin like left San Diego where he's the head coach and he came to Omaha to partake in dollar beer night.
Remember me?
They might frown upon that.
Yeah. Or.
It might be very awkward.
Be awkward, but respect, man.
But what if you did? What if you did it for an afternoon game?
That'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like people are like,
sweet spot, 3 o'clock.
I got a tailgate and
what about Saturday morning? If you did the Saturday morning.
Well, if it wasn't like the big pink out game.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
So you don't really have to worry about attendance because Pink Out usually is a sellout, and it's one of the better community events that we see around here is when Creighton basketball does their Pink Out. So you don't need to have a little boost at the gate. And, you know, I mean, what would you serve for, would it be dollar mimosas?
Mimosas, yeah.
Bloody Marys. Yeah.
Breakfast burritos and breakfast mimosas?
Yeah.
For a basketball game?
Ooh, breakfast burrito.
Crowd be going nuts at 11:15 on CBS?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what the crowd is like tonight because that's 8 o'clock game. It's St. John. Now, Creighton seems like they haven't played at home very much, so I'm sure there'll be a pretty good crowd. But get there early for dollar beer night. Is there an established record of how many dollar beers someone has consumed?
Because, there's got to be.
Because I can tell you that the Creighton games that I've gone to recently, it doesn't matter if it's a dollar beer. There are some people that are hammering them.
Oh, yeah.
Festive atmosphere.
And the great stories of when Creighton used to play at the Civic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back then Rick Johnson was the head coach. They weren't having great success. And people would, you know, drink away the night. There are some legendary tales of with the hockey boards up at the Civic that people would stack their beer cups,
right.
Like make a pyramid behind the Creighton bench. Like right there on the dasher board.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would love to see to the extent of where you already have a built-in crowd. And yeah, Saturday is its own thing. Okay. The pink out, it's special. It means a lot. That's its own thing as far as the crowd. But if, let's say you get, all right, for instance, you got a, what after Xavier, what would be the next best home game they've got coming?
UConn or Marquette.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So say, okay, the UConn game. You're going to get butts there. You get dollar beers, though. You try to recreate like the old Cleveland Indian 10-cent beer night where, yeah, we already know we got people, but we really want to thank them. We want to reward them. And then you just get complete chaos because it's one thing to have a lot of people there that were already going to be there, but all of a sudden you reward them with cheaper beverages and it becomes not just an atmosphere that has a lot of people, but it becomes an atmosphere that you can hear a lot of people, that you can feel a lot of people. Now, I'm not encouraging people to be running on the court or, you know, all kinds of shenanigans that would interrupt the game, like the infamous 10-cent beer night in Cleveland. But
we don't have a lot of debauchery here when it comes to those kind of nights. People are not like streaking on the field.
I don't think that would happen, but I think it would be kind of a, it would, let's just say it would amp up the volume a little bit, in my opinion.
I think of it as it'll be a spirited crowd.
Yeah. Be a very pro-Creighton crowd.
Again, I continue to say this. It'll never top the first Big East game ever in that building, which was a late New Year's Eve. Yeah. And people were
I didn't see that one, but
oh, great.
I go back to that bracket buster game that they played. I had a PA it, and they played at 11 p.m. at night. And just the line waiting to get their ticket scanned, you could smell the booze as I was walking my, oh, this is going to be a fun night. And it was. And I believe Creighton won, too.
How soon before Nebraska does a dollar beer night? Because Baxter Arena has done it for, I think they've already done it once this year for basketball.
They've done a hockey one as well.
Okay.
For the New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so they're,
I think
so,
it's great.
So they've done that. Creighton does it. When will be the first time that they will do it in Lincoln, either at PBA or over at Haymarket Park? Now, Haymarket Park could get pretty wild.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, you're dealing with sort of a different dynamic, and especially with outdoor sports, there just tends to be a little bit more of the tomfoolery, which is
a
great.
A little heckling.
Yeah, that happens. It just
save
happens
it,
anyway.
Save it for the biggest rival in baseball for Nebraska, which is...
Yeah, Michigan's not here, unfortunately.
Iowa?
Yeah. Iowa is... Ooh, is that a road one, too?
That'd be two straight years they have to go to Iowa.
They didn't go last year, if I remember correctly. I can't remember that, but I know they're on the schedule.
Trip, you would remember.
What's that?
If you were on that trip, you would remember.
I was in
COVID. Is that one of the
COVID
trips
year.
You got squeezed out of?
No, I was on it in COVID.
Oh, okay.
And we were in a ticket booth. We were broadcasting from a ticket booth because they weren't at the time selling tickets because it was just friends and family. So we were literally the ticket
so
booth.
So how did you see the game?
So this was great. Get there, and you know Curtis Ledbetter. Great dude. We're like, well, we can't really see home plate because we were literally facing center field. We're in the left field, like foul territory area, ticket booth, right by the bullpen. And Ledbetter's like, you need us to move this? I'm like, well, if we could get angled a little bit towards home plate, he goes, I'll take care of it. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Led. And within 5 minutes, there comes a forklift. And it lifts the ticket booth, angles it perfect. And the only quirky thing we had to do, we had our own little booth. It was a ticket booth. Every time the ball was hit beyond our line of sight in left field, we had to open up the door so we could see it. Yeah, so they're like, there's a deep fly to left. Oh, open the door. Yeah, I caught it. Had to make sure.
Brings back memories of calling high school.
But you've been to that press box, yeah. So it's a community. It's a community press box. Yeah. So the good thing is we had our own booth, had our own space, and then you got the poor SID trying to run stats all the way down to the ticket booth. That was great. Yeah, that was my last one. So that would have been 2021, my last trip to Iowa. It was fun, and they won. They won the series. But yeah. Not the. There's some interesting venues, as you know.
People sometimes forget they won the Big Ten championship
that year.
Yeah,
it was fun, but yeah, I think Haymarket would be a great one, and I think that I still think
invite all the students, pack the berm,
yeah,
dollar beer night.
You know
on
they
a Friday night.
You know the little party porch. Now they should they should make that one game, and I think it should be a Friday night game. That should be a student section moment.
You're saying,
I understand you're giving up some primo seats and whatnot, but that would be so cool to have the students in the little party deck for at least one night.
Yeah, like a mini SEC night.
Nebraska wants to reconfigure Haymarket Park so bad, but they don't have control over it.
Yeah.
They want to, I'll tell you, the when Nebraska played at Arkansas and that left field area, mm-hmm. which was just pure debauchery,
Got after Mojo.
That's kind of, Nebraska would like to recreate something like that.
Yeah.
But they don't have that ability. That's an interesting relationship in Lincoln between Nebraska and the folks that run Haymarket Park.
And the Salt Dogs.
I think Nebraska would like to buy Haymarket Park.
Yeah.
And so they could just take it over and do whatever they wanted. You know, because they wanted to put in all turf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a brand new surface at Haymarket Park, which will benefit, of course, Nebraska and the Salt Dogs. And at the park, the thing about Haymarket Park, and, you know, I was there from day one, and, you know, there's part of me that still misses the Buck, but I realize you can't, you know, in 2023 still be playing at Buck Belcher Field.
Yeah.
Also, it would be a little bit difficult now with the Hawks Championship Center.
Yeah.
And the new football facility going up, it would be kind of awkward.
You'd be like, cramped.
Yeah, you'd be cramped. Like down the lines, we might be go to 135 feet, which would make it difficult to attract pitchers.
The charm of the turf, for people who don't know, maybe you're younger, the turf infield and then the grass outfield was, I mean, there was a few that still existed at that time, but I don't know if any still have that, which was, it was quirky.
Did Wichita State go all turf?
Yeah, they're all turf now.
Okay.
Yep.
So they used to have that.
Yep. They were the only ones I could think of that used to have that.
So, you know, like we're seeing around here with a lot of the baseball fields that are going all turf. I mean, that's one of the best things they did with the new Omaha baseball and softball complex. Mm-hmm. They made it all turf. So you can play really any time.
Right.
And we see more high school fields around the area. That was a thought that Nebraska had is, hey, let's make it all turf. And the Salt Dogs are like, nah.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate thing about Haymarket Park is it needs some work. It looks old.
Mm-hmm.
It does look over 20 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it has not aged really, really well, but it's still a very serviceable place that probably, you know, needs some upgrades.
Well,
if you could get a Friday night, and maybe we're talking to the marketing people down
there.
Get a Friday night where you invite all the students, you know, buy an ad in the Daily Nebraskan, which comes out, every other day now or once a week or whatever it is now. And encourage dollar beers for the students, pack the berms, place will be chaos.
I think it'd be so much fun. I wonder, too, about this. You just made me think, with the Big Ten, the venues, do you feel like there wasn't as much pressure for Nebraska to really try to push some major stadium improvements? And I get, again, the obstacles of doing so, but I feel like my point is if you're still in the Big 12 and you've seen those facilities and they only get better, like the Big 12, that's some of my favorite things when Nebraska would play some of those Big 12 teams in non-conference, like Baylor, Kansas State even has a really nice one now. Like, I feel like if you're lagging behind that group in the Big 12, there's a little bit more pressure. Hey, we need to renovate. We need to modernize it. But in the Big 10, I'm a big fan of the Penn State setup, but I would say Nebraska is
with a minor league team.
Yep. I would say Nebraska is probably easily top three as far as venues in Big Ten baseball facilities. So I don't know if there's as much pressure now because, like, well, yeah, well, we're still one of the best facilities in the Big Ten. Where I'm knowing Will Bolt, I'm thinking his thought process, we want to be one of the best facilities in the country, not in this conference.
Tough to have that mindset and go, like, to Rutgers to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same way with Creighton. I mean, yeah. I mean, the Big East does no justice to the facilities that, you know, if you're Creighton, you know where you play.
Yeah, Georgetown basically plays at Zirinsky.
Doesn't Villanova play in a city park?
Yeah, or maybe it's Villanova I'm thinking of.
So
basically plays at Zirinsky.
So they can't play night games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, I get when baseball doesn't move the needle as far as the sports you care about in a conference, but, I mean, there just needs to be, like, minimum standards. And you mentioned Rutgers, but, like, there's a lot of those in the Big East. It's like, I'm assuming a lot of teams in the Big East, like road weekend in Omaha. Awesome. We're finally going to have the amenities. We're going to get everything's going to be rolled out.
People in the stands watching
them
play.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let me get the lineup for this Wednesday edition. Scott Chanley is going to join us. His midweek NFL segment coming up at 9 as we're down to the final four. Not heard the status of Patrick Mahomes' ankle yesterday. The line hasn't moved much.
Does it have a Twitter account?
Oh, I'm sure it
does. Ankle?
I'm sure it does.
We need updates.
With continuous updates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, and I think today the day that the Chiefs go back to work.
Should be.
So you may see some video. I you know, they usually have the first part of practice the Chiefs media can watch. So
yeah, that ankle will be spackled up to his knee.
That'll be, Mahomes, they'll roll him out there in a wheelchair.
Gamesmanship.
Throwing pass. So Scott will join us coming up at 9. Brandon Vogel is, lineup is brought to you by the Rooferies at John Higgins Weather Guard. When we come back, Trev Alberts last night made his monthly appearance on the radio. So he made the rounds here in Omaha with his head football coach. Stopped by to say hello to some donors.
Matt, a hockey coach too.
Matt, you got to put on that blue pinstripe suit. Yeah. We're going to Omaha to see the big hitters.
Yep.
And then Matt stayed in town with our good friend Ed Foley and toured the area.
Had a burger.
Was at a basketball game last night. How come he wasn't at the game I was at, Westside and Prep?
He was at Papio South, right?
He did go there. He went to visit the school. He was at the Bell West game last night.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's looking at quarterback. I don't know.
Maybe he's doing some recruiting for Fred Hoiberg.
Could be. Say,
Fred, there's this guy named Jaden Jackson that's playing for Bellevue West.
Is it getting to that point now?
Maybe. Hey, we'll help you. Hey, we're done. Like, we're full. Fred, I'll help you recruit basketball players.
I'll be in the area. I know you got a game to get ready for, so I'll be in the area.
But last night, Trev spoke. We'll talk about the biggest takeaway that I have from something he said. And he said a lot about his current coach and the way it's gone through 2 months, and also the announcement of the spring game, which is April 22nd, which I think they are buying into, and they're smart. They're striking while the iron is hot, and people are talking about what spring football will be like around here. Tickets are going on sale pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping for a sellout for the April 22nd game.
Yep.
But I'll share with you what I think my biggest takeaway was from Trev's appearance last night, where he covered a lot of different things from football to also men's and women's basketball with some season-ending injuries. Everybody's looking for some insight of what's Trev thinking on Fred. Maybe a little bit he gave you an inkling on what's going to happen with the head basketball coach, who you don't need to say, hey, here's a contract extension. You probably just say, oh, Fred's coming back. So we will see, because tonight Nebraska takes the floor and they'll be down another starter against a Northwestern team that is on the bubble and comes in as a 2.5-point favorite. So that's all to come. Plus, we'll get into, if you want to, Scott Rolen did make the Hall of Fame yesterday. I feel like we shame people in making the Hall of Fame or not making the Hall of Fame. I just want you to you're a big baseball guy, Nick.
Yeah.
Do some homework. Because I did this, so I started to look at Scott Rolen after we left yesterday. Tell me the difference between Scott Rolen and Mark Grace.
Other than smoking a heater in the locker?
Oh, I don't know. And I don't know also if Scott Rolen was into a slump buster.
Slump busters, yep.
But look at Mark Grace's career compared to Scott Rolen's.
Okay.
Might be surprised.
Okay.
So we'll discuss that. And, of course, the NFL playoffs and more college basketball from last night, which included Georgetown winning a Big East game. They can just win one. It's all good. Good for the players.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not great for Patrick Ewing, but he's going to be fine. He can be fine when the season is over, and they just mutual parting of ways will be the way they will announce it as a legend walks out the door. All right, 29 past the hour. We're off and running. It's Sharp and Hanley in the morning at 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.